Okay, well, tonight we are talking about the word obey. You might have been realizing that we've been doing a bit of a mini series. It's called Repent, Believe, and Obey, and tonight is about obey. Now, the word obey, some of you out there, you might be saying, yeah, look, there's a whole bunch of obey in the Bible, and it's all in the Old Testament, but you are wrong. There's a whole bunch about obeying in the New Testament as well. Often we get this concept that, you know, when we come to Jesus, before it was all about obeying the law and that was everything, but now it's about Jesus and that's it. But there's actually a whole bunch of stuff in the New Testament about obeying still. Now, some of you might say, oh, but you know, Christ set us free, and that's true. Galatians 5:1 is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's interesting. It says a yoke of slavery. Do not let yourselves again be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Now, that's implying that obeying the law is being a slave to the law. But in Matthew 11:30, it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Jesus talking about following him and obeying him. You know, when you're bound to a list of rules and regulations, that can be really tough. But when you're bound to Jesus, obeying becomes easy. And there's a whole bunch about exactly what we do as Christians and how we live our lives. You know, 1 John 2:3 actually says that we know we have come to know him if we keep his commands. If we keep his commands. Let me read that again. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. And that means that when we look at our lives, if we look at our lives and we go, oh, I'm really not keeping his commands, am I? That means we've got to question if we know God or not. And that's what tonight is all about. That kind of interplay between having salvation in Jesus and believing in his power and then obeying him. I'm going to pray for us again. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And Lord, right now, I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that this wouldn't be me speaking, but that your spirit would be doing all the work here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, repent, believe, obey. The next step is obvious for us. We've got repent, we've got believe, and then we come to obey. And to me, it just seems kind of obvious. And some of you, that might go, it's not very obvious to me. Why don't you point it out for me, Dan? Okay, I will. Here we go. Repent. We've decided that the way we live in life isn't good enough. The way we live in life isn't pleasing to God. The way we're doing life sucks. So we choose to repent and we say, sorry for all that. I'm sorry. And then the next step, we go, well, if all this was wrong, clearly something's got to change. And so we go, okay, something's got to change. But what are we going to change it to? Well, if all this stuff was wrong and the definition of this stuff being wrong was it being sin, well, then let's try not sinning. Let's try doing things God's way. And that is what obeying is. Turning away from sin, turning our back on sin. You know, obey is an ugly word in our culture. Obey, you know, gives us ideas of being bound up by rules and regulations. You know, it's so cool to be free. It's so cool to be free to do whatever you please. But if we're going to turn away from this, from sin, then surely we've got to put it in, like, we've got to take on someone else's way of doing things. And that's what it's all about. I'm going to read for us. John 14, 23 to 27. If you've got your Bible with you, open that up. All right. John 14, 23 to 27. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. You know, Jesus, right off the bat here, he says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He doesn't say, if anyone loves me, you should think about obeying my teaching. He doesn't say, if anyone loves me, you should maybe consider obeying my teaching. He doesn't say, if anyone loves me, you should read my teaching and respect it from afar. He actually says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He will obey my teaching. Now, guys, some of you might be thinking, you know, but Dan, isn't the whole point that we're not good enough? And because Jesus died for us, we don't have to do anything. The whole point of, you know, living under the law is that we have to fulfill all this stuff, and then we get saved. Aren't you just chucking that stuff on us? That's not it at all. Jesus came, and he died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin. And in response to that, we give our lives to obeying him. We're not trying to earn salvation here. We're not trying to do that at all. We are simply responding to him in that. Now, guys, when we repent, when we come back to God, we're restoring the original relationship that we once had. It's the first step on that. And restoring us to the way we were actually meant to be. We were actually meant to be in full relationship with God. And that's how it was meant to be. And then sin came into the world and all that got stuffed up. But repentance is restoring that right relationship. And do you think that that right relationship can be restored if we don't obey? If we don't hear God say something and do it? If we don't respond to his word? You know, when we repent, we're not saying, okay, God, you were right. You can be my advisor. You know, we're not saying you can be my co-pilot. We're not saying, yeah, you're my BFF. Yeah, you're my bestie. That's not what we're saying at all. It's God. It's God. And when we turn to him and we say, I repent, our next step has got to be submission into his will. We've got to respond in obeying. I'm afraid there's just no other choice. If you want to be in right relationship with God, he calls you to obey. He calls you to it. But here's the catch. And here's where it all turns around. It is our joy. It is our absolute joy to obey God. And you guys might think that's a strange thing because this world tells us that to do whatever we want is our joy. To find happiness, you know, we should be able to do whatever we want, and we will be able to choose our happiness and our destiny. I hate that word. You know, we're going to see our dreams fulfilled because we get to choose them, and we get to follow them. But with God, it's a totally different story. With God, we surrender all that. And now I'm going to put a pretty crazy statement out there. I want to put it out there that God actually loves you more than you love yourself. I know, right? God loves you more than you love yourself. Now, there might be some people out there, you know, struggle with a bit of pride. They might be like, yeah, I'm pretty cool. I know what's going on. I know what's going down. I got my fashion right. I got my friends. I'm pretty cool. I'm pretty awesome. Maybe I love myself. But God actually loves you more, despite that ugly pride. God loves you more. God loves you more. And if he loves you more, would he not have better plans for you than you had for yourself? If he loves you more, doesn't he want you to have a better life than you would want for yourself? Doesn't he want you to feel better things than you would for yourself? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. When we submit our lives, God fills them with other stuff. When we give up on the dreams of our selfish hearts, God actually puts other dreams in there. And God puts other stuff in there that is actually so much better. And when we obey his commands, our joy is complete. In John 15, verse 11, it says this. I'm going to go from verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That your joy may be complete. that your joy will be complete. Jesus is telling us that our joy will be complete if we obey his commands. And from the person who loves us more than we could love ourselves, we've got to hear that and respond to that. We've got to hear that and follow. Now, guys, there's a whole world of sin out there. And we've said that we've turned and we've repented from all of our sins. And no one's trying to tell you that there isn't some pleasure in sin. No one's trying to tell you that that sin is completely joyless. In Hebrews 11, it calls the pleasures of sin fleeting. You know, they might feel good for a time. They might feel good, but they'll vanish. That pleasure will vanish. And true joy comes from obeying the Father's will. True joy comes from being in right, full relationship with him. We talked about the prodigal son back in the Repent Week. And we talked about the prodigal son who went out and spent all his father's money and then came back and said, "Let me be one of your servants." You know, what would have been different if the prodigal son had written a letter? You know, the prodigal son didn't return to the farm, but he actually wrote a letter. And he wrote a letter that said, "Hey, I'm really sorry about all that stuff," but stayed in that town he was in. Would that have been a full restoration to the relationship that they were once in? You know, if we're using that as an example of how we come to God as people today, then surely we've got to make that journey back to him and live in that full relationship. And that comes through obeying, being restored as a son. Because when the prodigal son came back, the cloaks were put on him, the rings were put on him. Instead of being a servant, he was elevated to the place of where he once was. He was a son again. And God is calling us back into that full relationship. And you know, it's really hard. It's really hard sometimes to see that. And I know that in this room, you know, we'll all be in different places. We'll all be in different kind of areas. You know, some of you might think, you know, I've tried the obey thing. I've tried that. I've done that. Didn't work for me. You know, you might have obeyed too much, as if there was such a thing. You might have got so caught up in obeying God's commands that you lost focus of the fact that Jesus died for all your sins and you started working for your own salvation. And then you might have gone, "Oh, but hold on, Jesus died for me. When I do all this obeying stuff, I lose sight of Jesus." Let me say, come back to the obey. You might be out there and you're thinking, "Yeah, Jesus died for me, but that doesn't change how I live my life. That doesn't change what I do from day to day. That doesn't change how I act at this party or that party." I want to call you back to obey. To obey God's commands for your life. You know, it's tough because there are so many different ways you can go. But keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and Jesus' teaching. And let me tell you that everything will be fine from there. I'm going to read the passage one more time. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The Holy Spirit is calling you back to obey. And don't think you're on this journey alone. Don't think you're on this journey to live up to Jesus' commands on your own. The Holy Spirit is working through you and is transforming your lives. The Holy Spirit is opening your eyes to parts of sin. I bet he's doing it right now. Parts of sin in your life that you haven't given over to God. Parts of sin that you want to hold on to. Parts of sin that you've gripped so tight that you just can't let go. And tonight's the night. I want to ask you all to close your eyes. We're going to pray in just a second. And whatever God's doing in you, whatever's going on in your mind, if there's that area of sin in your life that's going wrong, if you've got that sin gripped so tight in your hands, I want you to clench your hands. Clench your hands. Grab that sin. And you might think this is the cheesiest thing ever, but grab that sin. God is wanting to take that sin out of your hands. God is wanting to cast light onto it and give you life in that area again. We're going to pray. God, we bring our sins before you. And we say, come into our lives, transform us. May we live as your children, just obeying their Father's word. God, I pray that your Spirit would transform our hearts, that would transform our lives, and that we might glorify you in each and every area of our lives. God, we just give over all the areas of sin where we've let you down. In Jesus' name, amen.